much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
There's a saying in show business: the show must go on. And I couldn't go another minute without being around the greatest non-pornography crew I've ever worked with.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Meditation is a waste of time, like learning French or kissing after sex.
Well, you know, if I knew what you said, I could probably answer you. So I'll say yes, 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 and no.
Soul train, soul train. Da 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 da. Soul train, soul train. Da 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 da.
And now,
hey, you know what's fun? Alcohol.
Our feature presentation.
Thanks for that tip. Have you ever heard Soul Train sung with less soul?
That's a good point.
I love Dewan. Dewan doesn't call us anymore, does he?
I don't know if he does or not. I don't think he does.
Get a lot of emails from Dewan, yeah. But not so much with the telephone anymore. Hey, we're a little bit, not that we had money on it or anything, Kevin, but knowing about the truck fire today on the 405-101, we expected we'd see you around 8:30. How'd you manage it?
When you get on the freeway from the 101 mm-hmm. to the 405,
right?
It's sort of almost past it. So I could see all the trucks and cars behind me on the 405 South that were stopped. But when I got on, there were still two lanes moving, and then it just opened up.
Oh, that's great.
Pure luck.
That's great. Because, Muggs, you have to do some navigating to get past it, right?
Crazy navigating.
Yeah. Well, good times. Welcome on into another all-new Kevin Devine Show, this time for a Wednesday. I didn't hear much about April Fool's jokes or pranks in the news this year.
Right.
Didn't hear much. So there's that DJs in, I don't remember where they were, who got fired for... stunt. They were making it sound like there was something in the water. They were using the scientific term for water, and they got suspended for that. Then there's this lady in the news out of Tennessee, and I think I love her very much.
A favorite day for pranksters is the time of year when you're never really sure what's the truth. One veteran April Fool's Day jokester in Kingsport had it all planned out.
I do April Fool's Day jokes all the time, okay?
Now, does she sound like the kind of woman who does April Fool's Day jokes all the time?
Absolutely not.
No, she doesn't at all. Let's find out what she did that got her in trouble and got her a visit from the police, as they say in Tennessee.
This year would be the best yet, a prank for her sister.
I was doing an April Fool's joke. I said, Helen, I shot my husband.
Okay, so she...
Whoa!
So she calls her sister... Helen, and tells her that she has shot her husband, okay?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, she does look like the white, sweet brown. She, by the way, is an old... She looks like about a 65-year-old old white woman. You wouldn't get that
husband.
From hearing it. Yeah, so that's what she tells sister.
What a wacky broad.
Let's see how that goes.
I'm cleaning up the mess. Let's go bury him in Blackwater.
Okay, so we're going to go bury him in... What did you say? In Blackwater? Our backyard?
It sounded like.
I think Blackwater.
Bury him in Blackwater.
Blackwater must be a lake or something like that, some stream, I don't know. So she calls her sister. What do you think her sister does?
I don't know, because you don't want to get caught up in murder, but
right.
She's your sister. So do you
right.
help her or do you... I think maybe she called the police.
I think that's what I'd do.
Yeah,
you heard correctly. She told her sister she murdered her husband. Sister Helen called another family member. Somebody called 911.
I love that Sister Helen didn't call the police, by the way. She just called another family member because she didn't want to be the one who, you know, dropped a dime on her sis, I guess.
It's like, do you think we should do
something? Another family member.
Call someone?
Look, I get the whole you don't want your family to get in trouble. I get protecting your own. I get that. If somebody has murdered somebody, you have to call it. You have to call and turn them in. You have to. Am I wrong about that?
Well, you didn't call in your brother.
He didn't murder anybody.
He was that DC sniper.
He was the Unabomber.
He wasn't the sniper. They caught the sniper. He wasn't the Unabomber either.
I'm sure he was.
I don't know. I think that's easier said than done, Bede.
I do too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
It really is.
So, at least if your sister killed someone, you would protect that.
I don't know.
You would hide that.
I would protect Lisa's sister.
I honestly couldn't tell you now what I would
she'd
do.
Have, she'd have to do a little favor for you first, though, right, Kevin? I mean,
you obviously, that's the right thing to do.
Of course, I know that.
Most likely you would end up doing it, but that's difficult.
It would take some thought.
Yeah.
All right, so sister, no. Friend, yes. Or other family member, yes. Then what happens?
And next thing I knew, there was law everywhere.
Next thing she knows, guys, there was law everywhere.
I didn't understand a word of that.
Yeah, I speak Tennessee. I got some relatives.
Law
All right, so I think we're going to meet, in a minute here, we're going to meet a neighbor who's going to describe the scene.
The response was excellent.
Kingsport police staged outside of Hudson's pastel yellow house, guns drawn, as they prepared themselves for a bloody murder scene.
And I thought it was somebody, some big man going to come out there. Here come the woman out and handcuffed her, put her in the car. And I thought, well, what in the world she done?
I love this neighborhood. I want to live in this neighborhood. I want these people to be my friends.
I
want to
stay far from it.
But inside, they only found Hudson, as she started to learn the joke might be on her.
And April Fool's.
April Fool, the fool was her.
And she just might agree.
Be careful on the April Fool's jokes.
There you go.
Have another smoke.
No.
They didn't
have another smoke and a whiskey, honey.
They didn't give us enough details for my taste about what they charged her with, how long they held her, if there's going to be a trial, or if this whole thing is just, you know, they consider a misunderstanding, let her go. I'd love some follow up, and details have been fairly sketchy online. I did try, but that's not apparently not the April Fool's gag.
Well, murder.
Maybe
that's a little too far to go for any joke.
Like when Mark O'Brien joked about it that one time, remember?
That's ridiculous. Those
got
guys,
in trouble.
And they got in so much trouble.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder if we should do a phone topic sometime and just take calls from cops on the day after April Fool's.
That's a great idea.
And see if their day is just sucky.
Because they can't really charge that woman, can they?
I don't
know.
Because
she didn't call the police and say it. She told her sister.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that. Probably not. Probably but it's just a waste of their time.
Didn't the neighbor say that the police came over and she left in handcuffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't know yet at that point it was a joke.
Right.
Then in the back, she's like, April Fools. I'm sure they didn't
she
buy
could have been. Oh, dear God.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee show, shall we?
I don't care, and I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yesterday, we talked to a college professor, as played by Ralph Garman, who does all the voices on this show.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I thought all those voice bits we did were real people. What?
And the guy that was in the story was listening. The Pasadena College professor who's teaching a class on porn was listening and said, why would you do that when you could talk to me? So we're going to talk to him today and find out what his porn class is all about and if we can just test out of it. I don't think I need to take the class, to be honest. We have Carrie Russell on the program today.
Oh, she's so good.
Very excited about that. She's on The Americans on Fox, which is great FX.
Unlike anything she's ever done before.
Yeah, it really is. Your wardrobe malfunctions on today's show.
Okay.
Women only, please.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you, Lindsay. Bruce Campbell will be on the show today talking about Evil Dead, which comes out on, I believe, Friday.
Okay.
Can't wait for that. And Brad Williams, comedian Brad Williams, will be in the studio. We're going to give away tickets as well to April Foolishness in the How You Like Me Now section when Brad is here in the 7 o'clock hour.
Excellent.
So keep listening for your chance for that. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. David Alan Greer joins us right after the top of the hour here on KROQ. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz news, how about some tickets to a very cool event that's happening this Saturday at the Santa Anita Racetrack in beautiful Arcadia, California, just east of Pasadena. It's going to be quite a fun event. It is a K-Rock infield concert featuring Iration. Also, you got the ponies running all day long. You got beer and food, and it's just a blast. Plus, you get to hang out with the likes of Stryker, Cat Corbett, Nicole Alvarez, Lightning, Omar, and Dave, the King of Mexico. Or as we like to call them, the B Team. I'm kidding. I love
Come
each and every
on
one
now.
Of those people.
You don't love them all.
I love all. I've had. In fact, I've had sex with all of them. If you want to go, I have a special VIP package to offer you. This is a cool thing. You get four tickets of admission, backstage access, eight drink tickets, and $106 in a voucher that you can use to bet on the ponies. You can't lose. You're already $106 up before you get to the track.
That's pretty strong.
So if you'd like to go, gates open at 10 a.m. If you'd like this VIP package, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. right now. First two callers to get through will get this exclusive VIP package to enjoy Santa Anita with K-Rock this Saturday. And if you don't win, go anyway. And give my love to all those people that I love so much.
That's a very generous giveaway before 6 o'clock in the morning, by the way, Ralph.
Well, we never hit the people early. I mean, I give out tickets and stuff all day long, so every once in a while I just like to make a point of giving out something cool early for the folks who are up early listening.
So you have to be up
now.
We
love them, too.
Your life sucks.
Yeah, trust us, because we know, because we have to be up now, and it does suck. Sad news. Jane Henson, the lovely and talented wife of legendary Muppeteer Jim Henson, passed away yesterday. Died after a struggle with cancer in Connecticut. She was 78 years old today. She was very much an important part of her husband's success.
Oh,
and absolutely, they were puppeteers together. They met in a puppetry class at the University of Maryland. They started working together. The very first TV gig that Jim ever got, she was partners with him in a Washington, D.C. TV station while they were still undergrads. They did a puppet show. They were married in 1959, had 5 kids together, and she continued to help develop Henson's business and all of his creativity and all his endeavors they did together. So, sad news. She's gone. Of course, Jim's been gone for a long time now, when you think about it. It's hard to believe he's been gone for so long. Since we're talking Muppets, another person...
What could you possibly be going into this story? What could it be?
Another person has come forward and accused Elmo Muppeteer Kevin Clash of having underage sex with him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. His name is Kevin Chiodi. Said he met Kevin on a telephone chat line, was picked up by a car service, then brought to Elmo's Manhattan home where he was given alcohol before being sexually enjoyed. That was back in 2004.
We know what it's like to have one Kevin. Two Kevins together cannot add up to good news.
Kevin and Karen.
Yeah, that's trouble right there.
I cannot believe that I'm actually thinking about blanking your blank.
Yeah, I'm going to blank your blank. Chiodi says he suffered severe injuries, including not limited to mental, psychological, and emotional trauma. These injuries are continuing and are of permanent nature. He's looking for unspecified damages now. And I don't know how many. I've lost count now how many this is. But.
And the reason somebody like that doesn't come forward at the time is it's embarrassing? Or
I guess.
You want to wait until a bunch of other people do and then you just pile on? I don't get that.
Or maybe it's just you repress the memories and then you're just like, wait a minute, Elmo did me too. And then it just comes to you when you learn about other people.
I can't control my horny level.
Your mom, is it?
Sorry, I missed all of that.
I missed all of it, too.
And I'm going to go first.
Okay, you go.
I can't control my horny level.
All right, B?
Yeah.
All right, now my turn.
Yeah. Not so funny when it's your mom, is it?
We're set.
And just to give you a quick splash update, last night, Kendra Wilkinson could not conquer her fear of heights. Wouldn't do her team dive. So they booted her off of Splash, man. You are not welcome at Splash if you cannot conquer your fear of heights.
Last week, she couldn't go off the 10-foot diving board.
Greg Louganis said she was faking, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it was real, man.
I've made my decision. You're fired. Yeah,
different show. That meant good news for Louis Anderson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who had the lowest scores, but they will be able to dive again next week. So congratulations to the number 10, as I like to call them, with Kareem standing next to Louis Anderson. They look like a 10.
That's the only way a team with Louis Anderson on it moved forward.
Yeah.
By the way, Ralph, it's a shame that they came up with these celebrity diving shows because it would have been perfect for the next Joe Schmo.
It really would have.
Because it does sound like you've made the whole thing.
No one would believe that that's a thing. Today's celebrity birthdays, Amanda Bynes. Oh, Amanda,
her last birthday is today.
Oh, come on. She's wandering around Times Square this morning, 27 years old. Colby Smulders.
Oh, there you go.
How adorable is she from How I Met Your Mother and the Avengers, 31 years old. Jenny Garth from the original 90210 is 41 years old. Sebastian Bach, from Skid Row, 45 years old today. Mike Ness of Social D is 51. Eddie Murphy celebrates his 52nd birthday today. David Hyde Pierce from Frasier fame is 54. Alec Baldwin is 55. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is only 57. I know. You look at him and you say,
wow.
How did that 87-year-old man get to be in a rock band? But he's only 57 years old. And singer Tony Orlando is 69 years old today.
Nope.
That's right, kids. That means
nope.
There'll be a little schmeck fest coming up later on today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
One of our favorite guests, Brad Williams, joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, he is part of the great lineup of comedy this weekend for the Kevin and Bean
April Foolishness. We have a great lineup of comedy. Ah, ha, ha, blah, 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 blah.
Roland, can't you schedule an interview like everybody else?
I can't because you won't listen to what's important.
How are you always so angry at us?
Because you have this wonderful gift of having the ability to share with your audience things that matter in this world. And what do I hear? Oh, la, la, porn, yeah, monkeys, oh, yeah. Oh,
first of all,
hold
on a second. There's nothing better in the world than porn, baseball, monkeys, and midgets. That's the big four food groups right there, first of all.
You are abusing your privilege as a trust keeper of society's ears.
What about this, Roland? Bruce Campbell from the Evil Dead movies is coming up in about 15 minutes. What about that?
You're getting warmer.
I thought you would like that. That's now, what
cool.
Are you complaining about? What are you complaining about today? What's going on?
About the Hollywood Legends auction happening this weekend where you can get actual props used from actual science fiction and actual superhero movies.
That's right. Ralph told us about this about a week ago, but we kind of, you
know. Did you stop talking about it?
Because we don't care. Because who cares?
Up for auction is William Shatner's phaser rifle.
Right, and we asked Ralph about that, and he said it was only used once.
Set phaser for dumbass. Yeah.
Are you on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise right now? Where are you, Roland?
I am on the bridge of a replica Starship Enterprise located in a secret location.
Which is your mom's basement.
Shut up.
What? You can't. That laser doesn't go through the phone.
First of all, it's not a laser. It's a phaser.
Whatever. Who cares?
Damn you.
Roland,
this phaser rifle was used in the second Star Trek pilot where no man has gone before, starring William Shatner, Gary Lockwood, and Sally Kellerman. It's a piece of history.
Okay.
That no one cares about.
That phaser for bigger dumbass.
How much money is that supposed to get this weekend?
They're estimating around $60,000.
Well, then why are you wasting our time? You got that kind of cash?
No, but you do. That's why I'm on the phone.
We do?
I need a little something-something from my two bestest buddies, Kevin and Bree.
You were just yelling at us.
Well,
calling us dumbasses.
Here's your chance to be not a dumbass.
Is there anything that costs a little less, perhaps, than the $60,000 phaser rifle?
It's...
Whatever. Who cares?
Roland's
gonna have an aneurysm.
Star Wars production slide images, they should be cheaper. There's props and costumes from Stargate. There's an actual costume worn by Christopher Reeve as Superman.
Okay.
Okay. And what would we do with something like that, Roland? What's the point of a piece of memorabilia like that?
You just hang it on the wall?
You
should not go horseback riding if you're wearing it.
Now, that is true, actually.
How about the Black Beauty from the Green Hornet film?
That's from the car? The automobile, yeah.
How cool would that be to drive around in the Green Hornet's Black Beauty crime-fighting car?
You don't even have a license, do you?
It doesn't matter!
Well, I
would own it!
Wasn't that movie like a year ago? I mean, really, how much could something like that be worth?
It's a tricked-out Imperial Crown. It's at like $100,000. It's the only one that survived the production.
I'm trying to get less than 60 grand. What else do you got?
All right. Maybe we can get this one. There's a hat worn by a munchkin. One of the munchkins wore a hat for the Wizard of Oz, and they have it up for auction.
Sign us up for that. We'll take care of that one for you, Roland.
Give it to your little friend Brad Williams.
There you go.
That's a great...
Kerry Russell on the TV show The Americans joins us here on the Kevin and Bean radio program later on this morning. Our friend Brad Williams will be here. We got more tickets for the April Foolishness show. And check this out, Depeche Mode tickets in the third row today on the Kevin and Bean show. Between 7 and 8 o'clock, we'll give you a chance to win Depeche Mode at Staples Center on September 28th or 29th in the third row. Tickets are going on sale for Depeche Mode in concert Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Details are at krock.com.
Did you see the Shaq retirement ceremony last night?
I saw highlights of that. Man, did he look happy.
Yeah, he was thrilled. Yeah.
I mean, how can you not be when you're getting honored like that by the team you loved and won a bunch of championships with? But yeah, it was a very emotional ceremony. It was super fun.
And when Kobe came out and gave him a big hug, that was so exciting and fun actually, to see those two old friends get back together. And
actually, Kevin,
they hugged a little too long for my...
He declined to attend the ceremony in person, even though he was, I don't know, about a 45-second walk away in the locker room. He decided
right
to
at the beginning, but then at the end, when he came out and he high-fived Shaq.
Apparently,
Shaq gave him a piggyback ride around the Staples Center. I thought that was exciting.
Now, in Kobe's defense, he did record a little video, a little tribute video that they showed as part of the, you know, the film that they showed on, you know, before the Shaq received the award.
Right.
And they did speak privately away from the court. But there are those who argue that it wouldn't have killed the man on, you know, this special night. A former teammate that he won all those rings with, it wouldn't have killed him to just be present. Just even if you're just even if you don't speak, even if you're just standing there and showing the acknowledgement of Shaquille O'Neal's contribution to the franchise, it seemed like it wouldn't have been too much to ask. But Kobe said, "Big game. I had to get rest up for the second half. I'm just going to stay in the locker room." So that's what
he's. I'm a Laker fan and I'm a huge Kobe fan.
Right,
but he does himself no favors sometimes. He really does make dick moves.
Yeah.
Even for people who like him, you go, come on.
And he had to know that even if his intentions were – even if he felt like it was the right thing to do, he
right.
had to know that there were going to be a certain number of fans who would be turned off by that decision to not acknowledge Shaq, right? Because we all know we heard so much about the way those guys didn't get along and fought with each other when they were playing. It would be really nice as a Laker fan and for the franchise – to see them hug it out and have a happy memory walking out of there.
Yep, that would have been cool. The only way that was going to happen is if Shaq went into the locker room.
and dragged Kobe out by his hair. Yes, it was unfortunate, but oh well.
Hey, Dave, right, we're in Mexico. We have about 1 minute for you to get Bruce Campbell. And then we're going to have to move on.
Aw, I love Bruce Campbell.
I do too.
We love Bruce Campbell, too. We're dying to talk to him.
On Burn Notice, he's in. Yeah. He's an executive or some kind of producer on The New Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
mm-hmm.
a cameo in it.
Yep.
Let's play the commercial for that. This.
Okay.
Oh, my God, this looks so good. I can't wait. Dave, the King of Mexico, can't even listen to this or watch the trailer because it's too scary for him.
There was something in the woods. And I think it's in here with us now.
You are all going to die tonight.
I read a passage from that book. I released some evil.
We're gonna get you. Not another peep. Time to go to sleep.
Come on.
Yeah. Look, this is the golden age of horror for some people, in numbers anyway. It seems like every other week there's a new horror movie. This one looks like the most terrifying of all of them, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And it has the creepy kids, and it has the fire, and it has hundreds of thousands of what looks like gallons of blood. And it has our little friend Jane Levy licking a knife, too. And I mean, what's more terrifying than that?
Here's what kills me, and I know they do it for the movie's sake, but if a girl says, you got to get me out of here now, I'm getting her out of here now. And if somebody says, don't look at this book, I'm not looking at the book. It seems like bad things happen when that goes on.
It does. Well, we only have a minute left, but the great Bruce Campbell joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now, and it's always a pleasure to welcome him back to the show. Hi, Bruce. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, you knucklehead?
You're just the coolest, and we're just always excited when we get a chance to chat with you. And I have to tell you, I've been paying a lot of attention to the press on this Evil Dead movie, and it sounds like this may be the most well-reviewed thing you have ever been associated with.
I think you might be right, and that pisses me off a little bit. I'm not in it, and I didn't direct it, and I didn't write it. But other than that, I feel very involved in this movie.
We
want audiences to just freak out and light their hair on fire when they see this movie. That's our goal.
Your goal is to have people light their hair on fire.
And kids, don't try that at home.
Right.
Okay. We want a visceral reaction to the movie because, you know, look, if you say it's a horror movie, most people know if they're going to see a movie called Evil Dead,
right?
It just tells them something right off the bat. They don't even have to have seen this movie before. But our goal is, we feel, is to make an intense experience, an intense roller coaster ride. And what's been really fun, I've sat with a bunch of audiences now, and, you know, they're clapping and they're laughing, but it's not funny. But it shows you that, it shows you, though, that you know, we didn't have any problems with the ratings board this time, because we really feel they got on board with what I would call enthusiastic carnage.
Okay.
Enthusiastic carnage. I like that.
Yeah, it's like uplifting rather than downtrodden, because you go, well, at least that's not happening to me.
Now, I know that you and your friend Sam Raimi, who are both producers on this film, would not have gotten involved in anything that would besmirch the great name of The Evil Dead. But this first-time movie director that you got, how did he do so many things so right his first time out of the gate? I mean, that's crazy.
I know. It's completely crazy, and I hate the word luck. But boy, we got lucky with Fede Alvarez. Sam had a meeting with him, because Fede made a short he uploaded on YouTube called Panic Attack. It's just robots attacking a city and blowing the living crap out of it. But you watch it and you go, that's pretty amazing. He did it for like $8. He's from Uruguay. 2 weeks later, he was in every major person's office in Hollywood, including Sam Raimi. And he was a big fan of Evil Dead. So this remake wasn't even on the discussion. Sam wanted to make this other movie with him. He wanted to make Panic Attack into a feature.
Oh.
But that got bogged down, as things do, and Fede was pitching ideas about, well, what if we made an Evil Dead that wouldn't interfere with your other Evil Dead? Because Sam and I are very protective of the Ash character and that journey.
Of course, sure.
So
sure.
That's why this movie has no Ash character. It's all new characters. You know, with the old story being told in a way where you can't see the cheesy garden hose spewing the fake blood.
Right. Now, the first one came out in what, 1981? 82?
Yeah, we made it in 1979. Sam was 20. I was 21. Wow. Rob Tappert, our other producer, was the old man at 24. And, you know, it's kind of a time capsule of where we were at that time and where the state of motion pictures was at that time. So it's kind of fun. I wouldn't go back and change it like George Lucas the cheater. I would let that just, you know, stand on its own. But we wanted to kind of see what it would be like if we made this movie with a thing called a budget.
Ah.
And, you know, we're really happy. The actors we got, Jane Levy, is absolutely kills this movie. And she's surrounded by all of her compatriots are all working good actors.
Yeah,
and we were hoping that by combining all that with special effects that are actually special, that we can make a movie that's even scarier than the original. So it'll be up to fans to decide, but you don't go into this movie thinking you're going to see my dinner with Andre, you know.
No, certainly not. And I'm glad you mentioned the budget, because even though they had a little bit more money to spend, and this is the voice of Bruce Campbell here on the Kevin Bean Show, we're talking about the movie he produced, Evil Dead, coming out this Friday. Even though they had money to spend, they didn't want to use CGI. They didn't want to take advantage of the tools, the technology that Hollywood seems to rely on so much, and they did so much of it old school. That was a good choice, it sounds though, right, Bruce?
It is, and I'll tell you why. Because digital blood sucks. I've tried it in about three different movies, and it never looks right. The cool thing about, if you have an actual, like a prosthetic arm, and you're going to take a carving knife and get into that thing, once you hit those tubes that are pressurized, you don't really know where that blood's going to go.
Right.
And that's the cool thing about shooting a live effect. It could go straight up in the air. It could hit the actress in the eye. I mean, the camera could be drenched. You just don't know. And that's the unpredictability of it, rather than a digital stuff that's all pretty and beautiful and perfect. And this is gnarly. Like, guys, the fathers of Evil Dead, man, you know, the fans who come to see this, their fathers who saw the original, he'll think he's watching a movie from 1979.
Wow.
Beautiful. Well, before we let you go, we had Jane Levy in here last week, and she was telling us it was so much fun for her as an actress to actually be doing that stuff and actually be able to react to real things that were happening in front of her, whether, you know, she was being violated by a tree or, as you said, having, you know, 1,000 gallons of blood thrown on her. At least she had something to work against.
Yeah, she wasn't acting on a tennis ball, you know, on a stick.
Right, exactly.
Is this? Is this?
She saw stuff happening in front of her.
Is this the only movie series that includes tree rape?
I would say, yeah. Now, the only problem Jane Levy had is after that sequence, she got Dutch elm disease. that's another story.
Evil Dead, opening everywhere on Friday. It looks amazing. They're already working on a sequel is what I've heard. We are always excited to have our friend Bruce Campbell back on the Kevin Bean Show. Congratulations on this one. We'll talk to you again soon, man. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a world-famous K-Rock at 6:56.
As you know, this week we're giving away tickets in the How You Like Me Now section to the sold-out Kevin Amin April Foolishness 2013, which is going to be this Saturday night at the Gibson. We have a real live professional comedian, Brad Williams, who's going to be joining us after the top of the hour. You need to make him laugh. You can win your way in with your best joke that Brad Williams will decide the funniest one gets to go to the show and see Brad in concert. 1-800-520-1067. Looking for the funniest joke to make Brad Williams laugh. That's coming up next on K-Rock. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
She was known as the mother of the Muppets. A lot of people don't realize what a big part Jane Henson was in the success of her husband Jim Henson's empire. They launched the Muppets together after they met in a puppetry class at the University of Maryland, got their first gig together at a small TV station in Washington, D.C. She was literally the man, the woman behind the man, and a huge part of the success of the Muppets. She passed away this week at the age of 78 after a long struggle with cancer. They were married in 1959, had five children together. And she was as big a part of the Muppet success as her husband Jim was. So sad news that she passed away. But she did a great job keeping his legacy alive after he passed away. She started the Muppet Museum and kept the brand alive for many years. Her kids also had a big role in that. But by all accounts, a very sweet and creative and lovely lady. And she will be missed. And in her honor, Elmo keeps going around and touching kids. So that's nice.
Oh, man.
Not more.
Yeah, another kid came forward this week, claiming that Kevin Clash, the Muppeteer and voice of Elmo, had sex with him while he was underage, 16 years old. Kevin Chiotti is his name. He claims Kevin Clash met him on a telephone chat line, then sent a car service to pick him up and bring him back to his house in Manhattan, where he gave the 16-year-old alcohol before engaging in sexual activities. That was back in 2004. Now, Chiotti is claiming severe mental and physical and psychological damages and looking for unspecified amount of money to make that right.
I want to
9 years
you
later.
Fool around.
9 years later, yeah. Listen, I think it's a fair question why people wait so long, but maybe he didn't realize there was any money in it until now.
Well, if I show up and you're already naked waiting for me on your bed, then it might be hard to be just a friend.
Then Elmo said, tickle me!
Do you think he did the Elmo voice?
Oh, yes.
No.
Yeah.
Molesting the kids.
No.
Do you think that was part of the thing?
Take Elmo's pants off.
No.
Yeah. Oh, Elmo's getting bigger. Every day I'm getting bigger and stronger.
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not good for you. We're talking about lawsuits. Donald Trump is withdrawing his lawsuit against comedian Bill Maher. Trump had claimed Maher skipped out on his promise to donate $5 million to charity if Trump could prove he wasn't part orangutan. He made the joke on the Leno show. He said when Trump demanded President Obama's birth certificate for $5 million, he said he would donate $5 million if Trump could prove that his mother didn't have sex with an orangutan. Maher claimed it was a joke. How's anyone supposed to know that's a joke? Oh, wait a minute. It's pretty obvious to anybody. Trump took it personally and seriously and sued him because he never delivered the $5 million.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Why do you suppose he withdrew, Ralph?
Well, Trump's lawyer says the lawsuit's being amended and then will be refiled at a later date.
I see.
So he's not giving up his douchebaggery just yet. What's wrong with people?
Doesn't have a sense of humor. Never has.
Especially not when it comes to him. I think if anyone should be upset, it's the orangutan community.
No kidding.
They should be suing Bill Maher. And good news for fans of Finding Nemo. Yesterday was announced by Pixar and Disney that there will be a sequel to the popular animated film. Ellen DeGeneres, who supplied the voice for Dory in that movie, announced on her show yesterday that she'll be playing Dory again in the sequel, Finding Dory. First, they were looking for Nemo. Now, they're going to help Dory find her family. Because she's forgetful. She forgets stuff. You know, because she's a blue tang, and they have a very short attention span, as opposed to other fish.
Sure.
They're really, really...
They have long memories.
Long memories.
Right.
Yeah. I'm concerned for this sequel.
Did I miss out by not seeing Finding Nemo? Was that a great movie?
It's adorable. It's adorable.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah. Albert Brooks is brilliant in it. Willem Dafoe will also return as the voice of
Wow, what a cast.
Shark. Yeah.
It's solid, but you don't see any cartoons, so...
Well, they creep me out.
Well, that's...
How can they creep you out?
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
It's perfect for you. You go into the theater...
He can watch Family Guy.
You go to the, TV, he's fine. But you can't go to the theater to watch an animated film, which is perfect, Bean, because it's just filled with kids. It'd be like you going to a pond that's just stocked. You know what I'm saying? You got your van outside.
Oh.
Got your Chris Hansen clothes on. You're ready to go.
You're confusing me with Elmo again.
I don't know. You with the Powerpuff Girls and your Bieber fixation and...
Yeah, there's...
That trail of Hershey's Kisses you lead from the playground to your front door. I'm just saying. There's some evidence there. Today's celebrity birthday is Amanda Bynes is 20 crazy 7 years old today. Kobe Smulders is 31. Jenny Garth turns 41. Sebastian Bach of Skid Row fame is 45. Mike Ness from Social D is 51. Eddie Murphy turns 52 years old today. He's aging just spectacularly, Eddie Murphy. Doesn't look all that different today as he did in 48 hours.
Yep, no, he doesn't.
David Hyde Pierce is 54. Alec Baldwin is 55.
Another guy, by the way, who's aging pretty well.
Yeah, he went through a little rough patch there where he put on a bunch of weight, but then he got himself back in shape again. Looks great. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 57 years old. And singer Tony Orlando is 69 years old. We have a little schmeck fest.
We actually don't.
Those of you who don't remember the Kevin and Bean show back in the day.
Look at the time.
Remember the time where Kevin and Bean were so hard up for segments and bits that they would look for obscure holidays around the country, like this schmeck fest that was going on somewhere in North or South Dakota. And they'd make a big deal about it, and then they would bring in their celebrity friends, like singer Tony Orlando, to help them sing the theme song to the bit they were doing about Schmeckfest.
Why do you make stuff up like this?
And here's what happened.
Gather around, boys and girls, and listen. You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota, to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and awkward, did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thank you, our special new friend, Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
How far had his career fallen?
I mean, we're bad, but...
Yeah, but you were just starting out. What was his excuse? It's hard to believe you guys weren't number one right
just
out of the gate.
Just
out of the gate. The minute you hit the airwaves, you should have just been celebrated geniuses that you are.
I think we went down in ratings for like 3 years. Hard to believe.
I didn't think there was anywhere to go.
We found room.
I'm Rob Corman. I walk the show biz.
Brad, in people's defense, when they treat you like a child, you confuse them with your size. Oh, I mean, that's what's going on. I knew it was coming.
That's why I said that right before we got to air, because I thought no one would be that irresponsible to go to that joke that makes no sense for a conversation we're having off air.
Are you kidding? you know it's better than that.
That's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Brad Williams, one of the funniest men on the planet. He is on the lineup with us this Saturday night for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013. We're giving away tickets right now. For up close and personal, the How You Like Me Now section. Now, listen to this. You get the VIP reception with Kevin and Bean. That's optional, by the way. Don't feel like you have to.
Yeah.
Limited edition How You Like Me Now show t-shirt. You get VIP parking, and of course, you're up close to see Bill Burr and Doug Benson and Rob Delaney and Ari Shaffir and Jay Moore and our friend Brad Williams. If you can make Brad laugh right now, hit it, Steve.
That wins. Give him tickets.
That's the best thing.
So Omar has discovered acid. That's what we've learned.
Yes.
1-800-520-1067. Now, Brad, you're a professional comedian. You've been on the road for years. You've heard every joke there is.
Pretty much.
Are you a joke guy? Can you remember?
Yeah, well, that, and it's like after every show, someone always comes up to me and goes, hey, I know I just saw you do stand-up for an hour and 15 minutes, but let me tell you one of my jokes,
because oh,
I'm good at this, too.
But
and
at
so,
least they tell them well.
False.
Never.
Never.
All right. So it's going to take a lot to impress Brad. That's what I'm saying. So bring your A-game, kids.
Yeah,
let's just
take
the calls in order. We'll start with Francisco on line one to get us going. We're not going to have time for a lot of chit-chat. We just want to hear the joke. Okay. We'll put you on hold, and then Brad decides who gets to come to the show. Hi, Francisco.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Make Brad laugh.
Okay. What's the worst thing a midget can tell you?
What is the worst thing that a midget could tell you?
Your hair smells good today.
Ah, that's an old one.
Okay, hold on.
All right, keep in mind which one you like, Brad. The winner gets Foolishness tickets. Delu, line two, welcome to the show. Make Brad laugh. Good luck.
Hi. What's the difference between an oral thermometer and a rectal thermometer?
What?
What's the difference between an oral thermometer?
No, saying what?
No, what's the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference?
That was pretty funny.
It's the taste.
Oh, okay. Right. We're going to dock you some points for your delivery, but thank you for the call. Let's go to Joey. Joey is on line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Make Brad laugh.
Hey, Joey.
What's up, guys? What's up, midget?
Yo.
What do fat chicks and mopeds have in common?
Eventually, they'll both be ridden by a insert punchline here.
Negative. They're both running around to get caught on them.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Thanks, Darth Vader.
It'd be better if he's in the same room as his phone.
Yeah,
we're docking him points for his phone. All right, line four. Interesting, a lot of little people jokes people are calling in to try on you, Brad. Like, you haven't heard those.
Which we were not asking for. We said,
no, not at all.
Like, well, but obviously he wants to hear jokes about his own people.
Because he's never heard that. Travis, go ahead.
Yeah, why don't midgets wear tampons?
I can tell you why I don't, but tell me why the others don't.
Because they'll trip over the string.
Thank you, Travis.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. Have that breakfast.
Henry is up next, trying to win his way into April Foolishness in the How You Like Me Now section. Henry, make Brad laugh.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hi.
Okay, what do you call a bear without teeth?
What?
A gummy bear.
Good delivery, bad joke.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about that.
Being a comedian is so easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it, right? Henry, say hi to the other guys in the highlights office when you get there today. Let's go to Rich. Rich is on line six. Rich, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Make Brad laugh.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
So, what does a 70-year-old woman taste like?
Oh, my God.
I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah. Jeez. What?
Depends.
Oh. I like that one. I like that one.
All right, hold that one. We got one more. This is going to be Chris on line seven. He will wrap it up, and then Brad decides who's coming.
Hey, Chris.
What's red and has seven dents in it?
What's red and has seven dents in it? Dents. I do not know.
Snow White's virginity.
Oh, see,
all right. Sort of a backdoor midget joke, no pun intended.
Sort of, right. Or front door, right.
Yeah, right.
All right, it sounds to me like you've made up your mind, Brad. Who's going to be going to the show?
The second to last one.
Rich. Yes, what does the 70-year-old woman take like? Rich, congratulations.
Delivery, too.
Way to go, Rich. How you like me now section right up front. We'll see. We'll see you on Saturday night. Can you make
Brad laugh? Midgets!
Congratulations to Anthony Moreno from La Mirada. Just got tickets in the third row to see Depeche Mode.
Nice.
Third row. Not bad.
Yeah, that's a good deal. I wonder what we'll be giving away tomorrow. I can't even imagine. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. He is a conquering hero, a hometown superstar, taking over Fullerton tonight for
the
benefit. I'm talking about you, Brad Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Brad Williams at the historic Fox Fullerton Theater. This is a charity show to study or to fight autism, right?
Yeah, fight autism. It's more there's a charity called Fullerton Cares, which fights to keep autism educational programs in schools. And
gotcha.
So we're doing the show tonight at the Fox Theater in Fullerton to benefit them. So between that charity show and April Foolishness on Saturday, I'm just not getting paid.
How do they get tickets for today?
Wow.
I believe there's a link on my website. So go to bradwilliamscomedy.com, and then there's
there is a link there, or you can go to the Fullerton Cares Facebook page.
So you're getting paid nothing for tonight. You're getting paid nothing for Saturday.
I'm losing money on Saturday because I'm actually buying friends tickets.
Oh, that hurts.
Yes.
Because it is a benefit as well. Kevin and Bean's April Foolish is the Wounded Warrior Project in Cedar Sinai NICU.
Yeah.
And how much of that money goes to Brad?
None at all.
And
then I have friends who are poor. They're just like, we really want to see you, but we can't afford tickets. So then I foot the bill for those.
To get a job.
The problem is they work for me.
Oh.
I just don't pay them enough to afford April Fool's tickets.
Because you only do benefits.
Because I only do benefits.
You should do one where you get paid. That's cool.
You know what?
People write you a check for being funny.
You know, I'm a midget. I don't need a lot to eat. I'm good. You know, you just throw me a bagel bite every now and then. I'm fine. That pretty much
actually, that's a week's worth.
Yeah, exactly.
I should mention this weekend is April Foolishness. The following weekend, Brad is going to be getting paid because he's going to be in Burbank back at the Flappers Comedy Club. You can see him there on the Saturday and Sunday night. Tickets available flapperscomedy.com. So you do have some chances to see Brad in a variety of settings coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We're so excited that you. I mean, Brad is the guy. He was the first guy that was booked for this year's April Foolishness because he arranged his entire tour schedule for 2013. To make sure he was going to be available.
Darn right. I got to defend my title.
I know.
That's right. Woo! You are the reigning champion of comedy at the Foolishest Show.
Going down, Jay Moore.
What happened last year, for those that didn't hear, is Brad Williams came out for April Foolishness and gave Lisa May a lap dance.
Yes. Yep.
And at that point, Jay Moore, who had not gone on yet, said the words, "It doesn't matter now. We're all just fighting for second place."
He told the audience, "Let's cleanse the palate. Let's not try to compare any of us to Brad," which he crowned me the winner, which was so nice of him because obviously Jay is a legend in comedy. So
he's
the fact that he said that,
however,
is unbelievable,
since
humbling.
Then,
nothing but trash talk.
Since then, he's been trash talking a bunch, and he's coming after the title. He wants that belt back.
Listen, here's the thing: Jay Moore is Tom Brady. He's the superstar. He's got the superstar wife. He's got all the glitz, all the glamour. I'm Eli Manning. I look like I'm special needs.
You might be a little bit.
And I might be. But I will take him out. Some odd reason, Eli Manning always takes out Tom Brady. So I'm Eli. He is Tom.
But Tom Brady, that's now encouraged to really work out and be at his best.
Yeah.
Now it might be a knockdown dragout.
And by the way, Jay Moore, I've seen the lineup. He's going on after me.
Yes.
He has to follow me directly. So I got to set the table for him. I got to make sure that there's nothing that he could do to top what I do. And I've been practicing, and I've got a few special things planned. Lisa, don't worry. You won't have to. Yeah.
She's not going to get pregnant this year?
Not going to get pregnant this year.
All right,
not going to get pregnant.
Good.
Can't say the same for Beer Mug.
Now, Brad, I'm impressed to hear this kind of confidence that you have, because I would think that last year you had the benefit of surprise. Let's face it. Big crowd, 6,000 people. Most of them had never seen you before. So you were the shocker.
Yeah.
You were like Wichita State. You were the shocker. So you came out and nobody saw it coming. This year, your reputation precedes you, and it's going to be a little bit tougher to surprise them, I think.
It is, and I have taken that into consideration. But it's all new jokes, so it's stuff that they haven't heard before.
Right.
And I'm very confident in my abilities. And really, when it comes to funny, midget always works.
Yeah,
you know, like it's never like I can just walk out there and just kind of wave to the audience, and that'll get at least a few claps.
You get a standing O for being 4'4".
I get a standing O from people who just can't see me, who are standing up trying to be like, where is this voice coming from? What's happening on stage right now? Why do I see feet where a head should be? That's because I'm doing a cartwheel. What's up?
Now maybe I should make this mention, and maybe we should have made this in the past, and that is that that night the rules about language and topics and everything else is not the same as the rules are for this radio show.
Right.
It's going to be a little
it's a little saltier.
A little saltier or a lot saltier.
Yeah.
Just if you're easily offended, do not come.
Well, if they're easily offended, they probably don't listen to this radio show.
But I'm saying it's all funnier but worse than this radio show as far as dirty.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sold-out show. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013. Last I heard, by the way, there were such things as single tickets available for somebody who just, is dying to see the show. I think you still can that way. But what a great lineup. You mentioned Jay Moore. How about Bill Burr being on the bill again this year,
Burr, in my opinion, is the funniest guy working today.
He's great.
Yeah, he is
He's great.
Ridiculous, amazing. Watch his specials. They're unbelievable.
And Doug Benson, who shockingly, I mean, for a guy who's as baked as he is, how he's able to still do a set is a miracle to me, but he's brilliant.
Like I'm Two Beer Brad. You give me a drink and a half, and I will not remember my set. I will mumble the entire time.
Right.
So the fact that Doug smokes literally the country of Amsterdam before he gets on stage is unbelievable
to me. I thought he was a robot when he walked past me on the way out to the stage. I was like, that guy is not there. and then he did a great set.
Yeah.
Awesome. I don't want anyone to think I missed that Brad just called Amsterdam a country either, because that was noted. Rob Delaney, it is not. It is a city in the Netherlands, right? Rob Delaney.
I did not graduate college.
I love it so much. It's not me.
And Ari Shaffir, too. Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir rounded out the bill. It's going to be a great night this Saturday night. Brad Williams is here in the studio. Again, a quick reminder, if you're in Orange County, why not check him out on stage tonight in Fullerton? You can go to bradwilliamscomedy.com to get those tickets for a benefit show, along with your friend Adam Ray. Skylar Stone will be there, George Perez, and your old buddy Carlos Mencia. That's a heck of a lineup for charity event tonight in Fullerton. We'll be right back with Brad after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
Me too.
I gotta tell you, I'm really impressed looking at Brad Williams here in our studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. The scar that you have on your face on TV when I'm watching you on Game of Thrones is so realistic, and I see now that it's not real.
It's not the same.
Crazy. Man, you just don't get along with your dad on that show, do you?
Although, tell you what, the Wee Man thing is kind of trailing off, but now everyone comes to me and goes, oh yeah, Game of Thrones, man.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That's not bad to be known for.
Yeah, so now instead of getting Wee Man's side piece, I'm getting Peter Dinklage's side pieces. I'm okay with that.
You couldn't look less like Peter Dinklage, by the way.
I know. I'm handsome.
Right. That's what we meant.
Yeah. Brad Williams is in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. BradWilliamsComedy.com on Twitter @FunnyBrad. Brad is one of those very funny tweeters. And you have been saying recently, and I can't tell if it's just part of the shtick or not, or if it's true, that around St. Patrick's Day is hell for a little person.
That is absolutely true. I'm so glad we're in April.
The whole month? The whole rest of the month?
Well, because now, like, St. Patrick's Day has gotten to be one of these holidays, kind of like Halloween, where it's not just the day anymore. It's the week. It's the 2 weeks. Right. It's all that. And, like, and everyone loves St. Patrick's Day, as they should. They go out. They drink the beer. Even the blackest guy will walk up to the bar and be like, I'll have a pint of Guinness for me mates. Right. You know, like, he all has the fun. But then I go out, and people just look at me and go, he knows where it is.
And I
get chased.
Yeah.
It's bad, because people think I'm a prop. They think the bar hired me, and I'm not even dressed like a leprechaun. No. That's suicide.
You have to hide. You have to hide in a hotel room or something for the whole month, don't you?
I really do. Mm-hmm. I don't go out for the entire month of March. So now it's April, and let's do it.
Game on.
Yeah.
There is no pot of gold. It's April now.
No. March sucks, and then December's no better.
That's another good point. And anytime you're at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Hey, before we go to our special guest on the phone, Brad, I have to ask you this, because you've been a professional comedian now for some time.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of people who come up to you who ask about getting into comedy, who are intrigued with the idea of being a professional stand-up, that look for your advice?
Yeah, and the best part about it is the best advice, it's really the only advice, is okay, do it.
Yeah,
just like, get up there and try it.
Yeah, because there's no shortcuts in comedy. There's nothing you could. Yeah, there's nothing like, oh, we'll talk about this, and this is always funnier. Like, it's just you have to do it.
It's not the only way.
Yeah, it really isn't who you know.
Yeah,
the only way you can do it is just to go on stage and do it. So if you want to do comedy, go find an open mic night, write some jokes, and go up and do it.
And then once you become a successful comedian like you, no one cares how you learned or how you got there or whatever. If you can do it, you can do it.
Yeah,
that's it.
But isn't the hardest thing about starting out in comedy is not aping people whose comedy you admire, is not just being a ripoff of fill in the blank, whoever your favorite act is, right?
Sure, because, I mean, you watch.
Did that happen to you when you started out? Because you must have had people that were great influences on yours that you were, you know.
I sounded like, when I first started out, I sounded exactly like an amazing comedian named Johnny Sanchez.
Okay.
And I sounded way too much like him to where people would come up to me and they actually called me Johnny Jr.,
okay.
For a while, so that kind of let me know, like, all right, I gotta find my own voice and really.
Yeah, it takes
do
a
it.
While to find your own voice.
Yeah,
right.
but it's always fun to see, like, when people start off what they think stand up should be,
right.
And then what it develops to. Oh wait, that doesn't work. This
now
is what it is.
Now you play comedy clubs full time.
Yeah,
this has 6,000 people.
Word.
Universal Amphitheater.
Yeah.
More difficult.
No. And especially with the Kevin and Bean audience. You guys, your audiences are so great that they just – they're there for comedy. They already know the comedians on stage. And if they don't know the comedians on stage, they trust you guys to be like, hey, we trust you to give us good comedy.
And they're just there to laugh and have fun, and they want you to succeed.
Yeah.
Which is great.
But we did just hear so much that better. Pacing has to be different because it's a big room.
Yeah, because now when you do a comedy club and you get a laugh that lasts 2 seconds, 3 seconds, now you have to kind of hold a pose and kind of mug a little bit more, and then you get like a 7 second laugh because it's so many people.
Maybe you can help with our next guest.
Oh, is he a upcoming comedian or something?
Yeah, well, he's an upcoming comedian. We thought we'd have him open the show.
Oh,
you know, just as a kind of get his feet wet, get out on stage.
It's awesome.
Show people what he's all about.
Yeah.
Hey, Armenian comedian.
Oh my God.
Hey, good morning, everybody. What's up?
Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. I'm going to be challengeable with this other comedian, Brad. Hey, how you doing, brother?
All right.
Are you saying you're going to challenge him?
Yeah, I have a joke for you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, all right.
What's a joke, Sam?
One drunk, he's middle of downtown, he's holding his head, and he's yelling, help, help, help. They say, what is up? What can I do for you, drunk man? He says, the world is spinning. Hold it for me.
Jokes, everybody.
Oh, that was the joke. Okay, okay. That was the joke. All right. Hey,
the world is spinning because he's drunk?
Because he's drunk, because it's in his head, right?
So he says, hold the world for me.
Don't burn through all the great material. Save something for the stage on Saturday, Sam. Seriously, that's a joke you should have held on to, buddy.
Oh, man, I got too much to tell.
You have too much. You know. Well, here's the thing. Let me say this, Sam. When we spoke with you last week, I didn't sense that you were putting in much effort or time or even thinking about the fact that you're going to be on stage in front of 6,000 people on Saturday night. Has it started to come into focus for you now? Are you working harder now?
Yes, I'm doing all my best to make all the audience get up and dance with me. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, why? Are they going to dance to your comedy?
Yes.
Okay, there is a distinct rhythm to Sam's comedy, you know, beat, 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 silence.
Brad, have you ever had a set so powerful that people felt the need to dance in the audience?
I've never had that, but
if
Sam could pull it off. Now, I've seen Sam live before.
Oh, you have?
At the Ding Dong Show at the Comedy Store. And let me just say
Are we making a good decision by having him open?
It is an experience.
Yeah. Brad, what's it like for a new – I mean, Sam's been doing comedy for a long time, but this is easily the biggest gig of his life. How long does 5 minutes feel when you're a new comedian?
It feels like 2 hours trying to write all that, like, because you think 5 minutes is nothing, I can go up and wing 5 minutes, but then when you start and you see the time and how much it's passing, and when you don't get a laugh, when a joke doesn't work, that's just a pit but you, in your stomach.
Excuse me to interrupt. It's like a boxer in a ring, you know. 3 minutes is like 300 hours.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know that because of your professional boxing career?
I used to be karate, you know, in karate.
Nope.
And then I used to
you weren't.
Yes, I did.
Nope.
Yeah. Don't forget, he's in Manny Pacquiao's corner also, Kevin. So he knows something about boxing. How many jokes are you preparing for Saturday night, Sam?
I got about, you know, 500 jokes.
500
jokes.
Do them all.
Wow.
Now, Sam, just so you know, depending on the crowd reaction, you could go on all night, or, you know, you might get pulled a little early.
I can do it in my dream also. I nonstop I'm talking. My wife, she says, stop talking. And she said that I have million personalities, so I can pull it off easy. What is wrong with that?
I'm sure she said stop talking when you're both awake also.
Should we have Sam on like a side stage, like the Vans Warped Tour?
Out in front?
Out in front of the microphone. That way he could do all 500 of the jokes. He can just keep going.
That's a great idea. Just have him in the lobby for people who want to go out and get something else.
Yeah, with a little speak and say.
We've got him on the main stage, Sam. This is probably the last time we're going to talk to you before Saturday night, but we're very excited to see what you open the show with, because your performance is going to set the tone for the entire evening. You know, there's a lot of pressure for you.
Oh, I'm so going to be excited and do my well. It is so excitable that you are inviting me to do this, all these things that we've been experienced. I really appreciate it. We really welcome from the listeners, from the audience, from the crew. Kevin and B Show is the best radio ever.
Are you high?
Is he high? Is he Sam?
Yes, he's high.
He said yes.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It is before 8 a.m.
Right. Sam, we'll see you Saturday. Thank you for coming on, okay?
Thank you very much. And have a good day.
All right.
Before you go, I want to tell one more joke. How come Easter time only the eggs are colorful? Because the bunny did the chicken.
Right.
Gentlemen, the Armenian.
Right.
Try to follow that, Brad. You're only playing for second best.
You know what? I'm stealing that. Done. It's mine. It's mine now.
Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad, and you can get the tickets for his charity event tonight at BradWilliamsComedy.com. Brad, you're the best. I don't know how you're going to top Sam, but good luck.
I don't know either. Thanks.
This is Adam West. Get a life, Ralph.
Oh, come on. What are you coming at Ralph like that for?
Just hearing his voice makes me tingle.
I was very excited about even that.
Yeah.
Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Wednesday, Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Everyone relax. All is well. Please return to your homes. Let the panic in the streets be quelled.
I don't know what panic.
Lindsay Lohan is not pregnant. Is not, I repeat, not pregnant.
Did anyone think she was?
Well, yeah, she tweeted. It's official. Pregnant.
On April 1st,
The LA Times contacted Lindsay, and it was just an April Fool's Day joke that she sent out on April 2nd.
Well, entirely you don't see that coming. Missing the point.
Lindsay tweeted, April Fools, where's everyone's sense of humor?
Oh, jeez.
Back on April 1st, that's where a sense of humor
sense
is.
Sense of timing. In all fairness, she was in Brazil at the time, and she was tweeting, and if you adjust for the time change, I guess the tweet was actually sent on April 2nd. Still April 2nd. Lindsay, by the way, I don't know if you saw the new photos on the beaches there in Brazil. Looking pretty good in that blue bikini, except for the brutal bashing her legs have taken somehow, some way.
What is up with all those bruises?
The bruises on her leg are in the... I can't say that. I was going to say they're in the shape of something, but I'll save that for Friday night at 8 for the Hollywood Babylon show because I can't get away with
damn
that
it.
Kind of
but Ralph,
here.
You're with me. It's more than just she ran into a couch or something. I mean, there are lots of bruises over a large portion of her lower torso.
Yes.
What's happening?
I think it's safe to say she bumps into things a lot. Best case scenario.
Friday at 8 p.m. at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. You'll be hearing my complete take on where those bruises came from and what happened. Go to csmot.com for tickets. Sad news. Jane Henson, who co-created along with her husband Jim Henson the legendary Muppets, has passed away at the age of 78. She died yesterday after a struggle with cancer. She was really the co-creator of the Muppet Empire. Met her husband Jim when they were both puppetry students at the University of Maryland. You can get a degree in puppetry.
What's your major?
Puppetry. That's my school, you know, you guys.
Yeah. Did you take a puppetry class?
I did not.
Yeah. Did you graduate?
I did not.
Well, then stop saying it's my school.
It is my school. It's where I went to college.
Yeah. Well, you know, I shopped at Albertsons once, but it doesn't make it my store. Okay?
I was a student in that college.
Yeah, for like 8 minutes.
For two
Stop
years.
It. Stop
Excuse
claiming.
Me. Hello.
Is it a two-year program? Is it a two-year
it's not.
University? Then
no.
Not your school. Put in a little time, you lazy F.
You're not allowed to claim that you went to a college if you didn't graduate. Is that a fact?
You say you drove by the college. That's what you
I
did.
I went there. I attended there for 2 years. I got my start in radio there at the University of Maryland. I'm a proud Terrapin.
They don't want you.
That's true.
Speaking of Muppets, Kevin Clash, the Muppeteer, former Muppeteer of Elmo, once again another person to step forward, claiming that he had sex with him while he was underage, age of 16. Kevin Chiotti is his name. He filed documents in U.S. District Court in New York City yesterday, claiming that he met Kevin Clash on a telephone chat line. Kevin Clash sent a car to pick him up, and then that car brought him back to the Muppeteer's Manhattan home where he was given alcohol and engaged in sexual behavior.
So, well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
Let's all play something. I'll pick something too, right? One, two, three.
Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
There we go. While we're talking about lawsuits and sex, interesting documents discovered regarding the John Travolta sex claims. You may remember we talked about the case of there were several people, most famously two masseurs who claimed that Travolta sexually assaulted them in the midst of their...
Masseusing?
Yeah, I feel like those stories just kind of evaporated.
It did.
It seemed like... Okay.
It did. Both of those lawsuits went away. Why? Huh. Well, although Travolta's camp said that they never paid them off and they never admitted that there was any sort of impropriety, there was a interesting investigation by the Gawker.com website that obtained an internal report of insurance claims made against Travolta's production company.
Ah.
Showing what? That there were insurance payouts from the production company to at least two, maybe four, of the six people who filed sexual assault claims against Mr. Travolta. Travolta's insurer paid out $84,500 for at least two of these six claims. All six claims are listed as still open, but we know now that the insurance company paid off at least $80,000 to one claim and about $4,000 to another claimant. So we're talking about John Doe 1 and 2. These are the massage guys. But other people who filed claims against him include his former longtime stunt double, his former driver.
Wow.
And a physical therapist. So John is a horny little devil.
No kidding.
Allegedly. But, yeah, interesting article over there at Gawker.com if you want to check that out.
I guess you can claim I never paid anyone off if your company did it.
The insurance company did it on behalf of your production company. You personally never wrote any checks.
Not to take his side, because where there's smoke, there's usually fire. But companies do pay off stuff that when it's not true.
We
just
know
to keep it out of the courts. We know
that's
for a fact.
That's very true, Kevin. That's a good point.
True.
Seems like a lot of them.
Why don't you go over to John Travolta and say you want to give him a massage and then let us know what happens. And if nothing happens,
research?
We'll know that it was all just payouts.
I mean, I can understand his reputation has already been fairly well battered as a result of these news stories. I can understand him just not wanting it to go to court and just make it go away.
Yeah, but...
Having said that, I'm with you, Ralph, but...
No, I can understand a random masseurist coming forward and saying, here's a chance for a payday. Claiming some sort of predatory gay assault against a celebrity. But a longtime stunt double, someone who's worked with him for years over many, many films. A former driver that has worked with him in many, many productions.
Yeah,
it seems like those particular relationships wouldn't lend themselves to that kind of money grab. You wouldn't
All
think.
Right, he did it.
I'm saying this is all speculation.
I'm with you. I agree.
This is all I'm just spitballing here, much like the masseurs did themselves. Today's celebrity birthdays, Amanda Bynes. She's 27 years old. Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother is 31. Jenny Garth from Beverly Hills 90210.
Have you seen her lately,
by the
way?
Yeah, she looks great. She looks
Boy,
terrific.
She looks amazing.
41 years old today. Sebastian Bach of Skid Row is 45. Mike Ness of Social D turns 51. Eddie Murphy is 52 years old. David Hyde Pierce from Frasier and Spamalot, 54 years old. Alec Baldwin turns 55 years old today. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 57. And Tony Orlando... A legendary pop singer from the 70s, had a string of hits in the 70s with his band Dawn, is 69 years old today, but he's probably still best known to Kevin and Bean listeners as the singer on the legendary Schmeckfest theme when Kevin and Bean went to attend Schmeckfest in South and or North Dakota. I forget exactly.
Freeman, South Dakota.
Freeman, oh, sorry, Bean. I didn't mean to upset the location of
Schmeckfest. How weird is this? It was only Bean.
Only Bean went?
Yes.
How did you get sucked into the Schmeckfest mania then? What is Schmeckfest? It sounds like some sort of German occupation where they make people scream and drink beer or something. I'm trying
it's
to
like
discern from the theme exactly
I think.
What's going on.
Yeah,
well, why are
there
screaming
exactly
women? There's screaming and women and children talked about in the theme.
I don't know.
Women and children are screaming.
I can't answer that.
Well, let's hear the Schmeckfest theme.
Balls, 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 balls.
Not the Schmeckfest theme.
Gather around, boys and girls, and listen.
You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota. to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer.
East Germans.
There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children.
Screaming men and women and children.
There will be sauerkraut and awkward, did we mention beer?
An assassination.
Oh, your special new friend Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
So Bean went to an Oktoberfest-like festival where everybody gets drunk and screams. What was he doing
That's
there?
Bean. That's Bean in a nutshell. Beer and screaming. You know, he loves that.
That's the name of his autobiography.
What's wrong with you guys? Who said, that, hey, this is a good idea. Let's get Tony Orlando to sing a song about a fictional event
Look,
that we don't care about.
I am lame in a lot of ways, and I'll admit it, but that was not my idea.
Correct.
Right. Well, wait. What are you suggesting here?
Okay. You're suggesting just,
my idea. I know what he's suggesting.
I'm just saying.
I don't recall that at all. I think we were both delighted with the idea at the time. To tell you the truth, we had a lot of time to fill and no internet to fill it, Ralph. Back then,
we're gonna get Bean under the bus that Kevin just threw him under, and then we'll continue with the Kevin and Bean show right after this. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Mike Catherwood, co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock 5 nights a week. What's going on?
Nothing much, man.
Mike!
How are you, brother? How are you, Kevin?
Mike! What a surprise to see you. And your little friend Brad Williams, who was your guest on Loveline last night, just left here, too.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Bean, you really... I mean, the Peter Dinklage comedy... Oh, gosh.
Sure,
I almost had to pull over. How funny and creative that you compared him to another little person who he looks nothing like. And you continued to stretch that joke out for 45 seconds.
We were doing fine before you stepped in here,
Mike.
We
do the best we can.
Come on. We're just as God made us. Listen, this wasn't planned. Mike happens to be in the building for some other business. But I'm actually glad you're here because we're going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to your heart. And that is Lindsay Lohan's bosom.
Yeah.
She, for as crazy as she is and as for annoying as she is and as for as much as I am sick of hearing about her, this wardrobe malfunction in Brazil over the weekend, her coming out of the helicopter and her boob popping out, I kind of forgot how awesome she looks.
Yeah, she used to be super hot.
Yeah.
And then she started getting all that, she looked like a mess. She was a mess.
Yeah, she got Britney'd for a while,
yeah.
But don't you feel like right now she actually, in these new bikini photos that we were just talking about of her on the beach with all the bruises, forget the bruises for a minute, she just looks healthy again.
Forget the bruises
for some reason.
No,
scars.
I don't think that is the case.
You don't think she looks healthy? I do.
No, I think
she looks good.
I do think that once you are reminded of how awesome her natural breasts are, that you get like a renewed sense of attraction to her, but
you
I would
become
go,
more forgiving about all the rest.
Yeah.
Of it.
When she was getting out of the helicopter, she was wearing some kind of a really loose dress. She didn't have a bra on.
Yeah,
and she had a wardrobe malfunction. Her boob came out. Unfortunately, her hair covered it.
Right.
That's bogus. That's not good.
See, there's the thing. I wouldn't call that a wardrobe malfunction because that's a wardrobe malfunction describes someone who really intended to prevent stuff from sneaking out. And oh wow, by a weird sense of a weird, you know, series
sure.
of circumstances, there's my boob or there's my balzinis or whatever. Lindsay Lohan's a very busty girl who put no effort into hiding her boobs.
Agreed.
In that dress.
Which,
you know,
which I'm cool with.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I understand.
But what we want to do,
just defining it.
What we want to do is we want to take calls from K-Rock listeners, whether you didn't care like Lindsay Lohan,
sure.
or perhaps were showing the world your goods because you got them. Or it was an accident. You had a wardrobe malfunction. 1-800-520-1067. Now, because we're who we are, girls only.
Okay. I was about to say, it's funny you guys are doing this topic. I was about to make a bold statement. I believe this happens to men, if not as much more than it does to women.
You mean with their junk popping out?
With either balzinis or...
really?
Or like you forget that you're wearing boxers and you forget to zip after you go wee-wee.
Oh, yeah.
A beer mug shaking his head, yes. Every once in a while, you know, before you get... You had too much to drink. You're at the Laker game and you're like, how about Kobe? And you forget to zip up. You're wearing boxers with a little wiener door.
Yeah, but we already said... we don't want to talk about guys.
I know, but
and
so
I know
fun.
That's all you care
that's
about.
That's all I care about.
I know.
There's
right,
nothing
exactly.
better. You're sitting next to a beautiful Nubian prince at the Laker game and his dong's just peeking.
Okay, but changing subjects again away from whatever you're interested in, Mike.
Sausage.
It does. I will tell you that I have a great deal of sympathy for the celebrity ladies. And Mike, for God's sakes, you're married to one, so you know what it's like. You're always in situations where you're being photographed, whether you want to or not. Your wife gets they take pictures of her at the supermarket, so you know what it's like. And it's not that hard for something to be out of place and be captured on film in that instant that it was available, and then all of a sudden it's a sensation on the internet. And that does kind of suck for girls who are just trying to live their life.
Well, Bianca was going to an audition a couple weeks ago. And she realized that, like, once she got under the lights, the dress she was wearing was completely see-through.
That's the best.
Yeah.
And that happens
so,
a lot.
Yeah. It's like, so even if you plan sometimes, you don't realize it until it's too late. And it really is a lot tougher, especially for someone who's, like, a real female celebrity. I mean, if you're Reese Witherspoon, you really are. You have people jumping out of the bushes yeah. when you're going to the supermarket. And next thing you know, it's like, bam.
There's your penis. Right.
Yeah.
So we want to take calls from ladies who are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show where your boobs have fallen out and it was, you know, an embarrassing situation for you. It was in a place where it was not ideal that that happened. Or in some cases, hey, we'll never forget the Tara Reid story of her being on the red carpet. Actress Tara Reid from the American Pie movies. Remember, Mike? She was on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Her boob was out for a long time. And I guess because it's not that sensitive anymore, because of the work she's had done, she didn't feel it and didn't know it. And there were hundreds of pictures. Yeah, hundreds of pictures being taken of her with her boob out. She had no idea until somebody told her.
I was at the Grammy Roundtable. This has got to be like 6 or 7 years ago when I was working for you guys still. And Stacey Keibler was there. This is way before the Clunedog. She was still, I think, working for the WWE. And she had little teeny shorts on. And she's very tall and leggy.
Yep.
She was sitting on these stools that are like waist height that they give you to do these interviews. And the way she was sitting, the shorts were pulling to the side her.
Right, sure, we got it.
And so I was just, I couldn't interview anyone. I was staring directly at Stacey Keibler's, like, goodie bits.
Keibler, right.
Yeah, I was staring at Stacey Keibler's elves. It was amazing.
I mean, it happens depending on what you're wearing. Let's take one call real quick before the break, and then we'll come back and take a bunch more, because it looks like we're going to get some good ones. Megan is on line two, and she'll get us going. Please, Lisa, you hang on. Deanna, hang on. We will get to you. Megan, welcome to the show. What happened?
Hi there. Lisa May.
Hello.
Kevin Bean. Mike.
Hi.
Love all of you.
Thank you.
We love you. What's your wardrobe malfunction?
So I got married in the summer of 2011, and my husband and I were having our first dance. And during the big dip finale, what happened is my dress was strapless, so my boobs just kind of popped out of my dress as I dipped back.
Oh, man.
That was entertaining for the people that are there.
Hey, Dad.
And I'm sure a lot of people have it on film, right?
Oh, you know, I asked people, and, you know, half of them saw it, half of them didn't. But
right.
Honestly, my boobs are pretty old news, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
All right, that's what I like. Megan's fine with it.
Yeah. Were you wearing your wedding dress, or did you change into something else for the reception?
No, I was wearing my wedding dress, but it was so tightly fitted that there was no problem of them coming out when I was standing, but when I did the dip back, like the
fantastic.
Dress
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Came
you
did, down and they're just all out.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. That's fantastic. God love you. Thank you for calling, Megan. 1-800-520-1067. Ladies, your wardrobe malfunctions. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I love penis.
No, women. Dear Kevin and Bean, Brittany writes in, wardrobe malfunctions happen to me all the time. I don't wear underwear, so when I wear skirts and the wind unexpectedly picks up, there goes my vajayjay. One time I was going up a set of stairs and my stuff was visible to everyone below me, and I've been at the Apple store and had no clue that my nipple was out until my friend told me. Brittany just sounds like a party.
USA!
Indeed.
Let's talk to
Deanna. She's on line four. We're talking about ladies and your wardrobe malfunctions here on the Kevin Bean Show. Kind of celebrating the best Lindsay Lohan has looked for a long time, getting out of that helicopter in Brazil this week when she had a boob pop out. Deanna, what happened to you, my dear? Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Lisa May, Kevin and Bean.
What happened?
I was walking across the street, really busy street, on Crenshaw and Artesia in Torrance, looking really cute, wearing my miniskirt and my heels. And as I was crossing, all of a sudden the elastic on my underwear broke. My underwear fell down. I stepped out of it and kept on walking.
Wait, in the middle of the road?
In the middle of the street.
That's a baller if you just keep walking and don't even look back.
That's fantastic.
Didn't even look back.
That's sweet.
So nobody saw anything, but still, you could have handled it in an embarrassing way, but you just made it look cool when you did it.
exactly like it was supposed to happen.
I like
that's
it.
Awesome. Thank you very hilarious. Much for the call. Let's go to Lisa while we're on the bottomless tip. Let's see what happened to Lisa on line one. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Thanks a lot for calling.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
I first of all, apparently Torrance is where a lot of people have wardrobe malfunctions.
Is that right?
That's where I live.
All right. Torrance is boob heavy.
Apparently. I was in a local production of the musical The Producers a couple of years ago,
right.
Making my big triumphant return to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big number at the end of Act One where we have to dress like little old ladies in these really heavy blue costumes that this costume was just sucked. It just sucked. My heel kept catching after this big part of the number because we have to use walkers and we fall down like dominoes.
Right.
And then we have to get back up and then we march off stage. Okay, so I was having problems with this skirt since day one. Saturday night, second night in, my dad's in the audience and my costume fell off. The bottom part of my costume completely ripped off on my heel.
Oh my God.
Skirt came down, butt showing everyone, and there I am just running off stage.
That's what you did? I mean, you have to run off stage at that point, right? Even though it's embarrassing, you can't
but
somehow.
But the show must go on.
You can't
you
somehow.
Have to do the
but
show.
Not like
that.
The last girl. You can't just make it look good.
Well, no, I tried. We're supposed to be these horny little old ladies, right?
Well, there
so
you go.
I cheated to the audience really quick and did this one of those little and I just ran off. I just, oh, man.
And your dad said, that's my daughter right there.
There you go. Exactly. See that bare ass up there? That's my Lisa. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's talk to Tiffany on line three. She had a wardrobe malfunction at a very weird time. Hi, Tiff. What's going on?
Good morning. I was actually involved in a car accident with a semi, believe it or not, and I had passed out for a little bit, and when I came to, the driver of the semi and the passengers were all around me, and my boob was hanging out.
Oh, so you, wait, wow. So you passed out, and you had people in the car with you that you knew?
No, they were outside. I was in the car by myself.
Oh, by yourself. Okay.
Tiffany, that's so creepy.
I was going to say, like, no one thought to cover you up?
Well, they kind of shook me awake, and then they kind of, like, did the eye thing down my boobs. I'm like, oh.
Oh, right. Man.
By the way, you got something happening down there.
like it's not weird enough to wake up after being in a car accident, and then you've got to take in the boob, too. That's crazy. Thank you very much for the story. Let's do one more. Let's do Jennifer. She's on line five.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. How are you guys this morning?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, I was a teenager in Hawaii with my family, and they took us out on a little snorkeling trip and got to get out of the boat and swim around with the fish. It was really cool. And then when it was time to get back in the boat, had to put one hand on the side of the boat and give the other hand to the captain, was young cutie.
Right.
And they'd kind of drop you down, and on three, they'd yank you back up into the boat. Well, one, two, three, I'm down in the water, and up I come without my bathing suit.
Now, before I hit this button, you said
I was
you were
ask
a teenager, meaning
person.
You were 18 or 19.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
18. 18, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, she was 18.
18. Yeah. 18. Good news.
Great story. Thanks for the call. Hey, attention Los Angeles Kings fans. Luke Robitaille joins us in studio tomorrow talking about the recent ceremony that the club had at the White House with President Obama. You know, you win a major title in a major sport in this country, you get to visit the White House. That's part of the deal.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, so they've had a lot of Kings have had a lot of fun since this season began because they get their rings and their trophies and all the good stuff.
Still
so,
playing well and getting into the playoffs.
Still playing well, yeah. So it's always great. We love Luke, have always loved Luke since back when he was a player, so we're very excited. He'll be here with us tomorrow. Also, Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. And we're going to talk to that chick from My Strange Addiction that we talked about a few weeks ago who is addicted to drinking her own blood. The real person who lives in Southern California is going to join us tomorrow morning. That's all right here on the Kevin Beach.
She heard that we were playing the clips, and she's like, I'll talk to you.
That's said, awesome.
All right. Creepy. In the creepy news, the USA Today is reporting that Kiss and Hello Kitty are getting together.
Now, wait, why is this creepy? These are two long-running franchises. So
Hello Kitty.
Where do they intersect in the world?
Hello Kitty is for little kids.
Yeah.
And Bean.
Right. No, but I'm saying, why is it creepy that Kiss and Hello Kitty are together? What's
because
creepy about it?
Kiss is not for children so much.
Oh,
it just seems odd. They're doing a cartoon, Kiss and Hello Kitty characters, and the characters will be, quote, living their rock and roll dreams
and are bringing pink anarchy to every situation they're in.
Hmm. Well, it just
seems
sound
like
terrible.
It's not much of a fit.
It does sound terrible. I'm not denying that. I don't get the creepy part, but it does sound awful. But look, Gene Simmons, the greatest marketer in the history of rock and roll music. Kiss has licensed thousands of products. I bet they've made as much money from the licensing as they have from the music over the years,
sure.
Right? I mean, he'll try anything. So we wanted to find out more about this show and if it's going to work or not. So we thought we'd get our friend Gene Simmons back on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And it sounds like we've got him now. Gene, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back. It's Kevin and Bean.
Arigato.
Are we interrupting something?
No, no. I'm here working in my office in Tokyo, working on other characters for the Sanrio company to develop the Hello Kitty brand alongside with Kiss.
Oh, I see. Hmm. Okay. Could you work in your office closer to the phone or maybe turn the music down a touch? Is that possible?
Oh, hold on one moment.
Excellent.
That's much better, actually. Thank you. I had no idea you spoke Japanese, Gene, but I guess you're just multi-talented.
Gene Simmons. This is Gene Simmons of Kiss, by the way.
Right.
I speak Greek, Hebrew. Uh-huh. English, obviously, perfectly. Well, yeah. Better than anyone. Spanish. French.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Portuguese.
Wow.
Esperanto.
Okay, no one speaks Esperanto.
African click language?
All right, tell us what we're missing about this amalgamation of these two things put together. Kiss is one thing, and it's great. Hello Kitty is great for a different audience, perhaps. How do they work together, Gene?
Well, Kevin was describing it a little bit before you brought me on the air, and I think he described it perfectly.
It sounds like a bad mix.
The Hello Kitty characters and all the characters underneath the umbrella of the Sanrio company will take on the Kiss makeup, and they will actually create pink chaos.
Lisa right.
May.
Yes.
Speaking of creating pink chaos.
Okay, let's leave Lisa May out of this for this time, if we could.
Right, we got it. We understand.
Yeah, calling Dr. Love.
All right. We understand.
Do you
know anything about Hello Kitty, though? I mean, there's these characters, they're just kind of dumb, and it seems like they're for, like, three-year-olds.
It does seem simple, but there's a demographic for everyone to market to anyone, and if Gene Simmons can make money off of it, it seems like a great idea. But you're right, I do have to do a little bit more research on Hello Kitty. So, Lisa May, I'd like to say hello to your kitty.
It's a completely different kitty.
Hello, hello!
You know, this is
fucking cool night.
Right. It's a children's TV show, though, Gene. You shouldn't even be making references like that in an interview about the show.
I bet if I said hello to Lisa May's kitty, there'd be an echo. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Get it? Who's with me? Beer
that's
mugs?
Just me.
Really? You're going for beer mugs to support?
Shalom.
Shalom to you as well.
Well, I'm also working on some different characters underneath the Sanrio umbrella.
Okay,
besides Hello Kitty, you guys know of Carol Carol Kuropi.
No, I'm sorry.
A very popular Japanese character that Sanrio makes. I'm making Carol Carol Bukaki.
Okay. Again, not necessary.
All right.
We should have known better, Gene.
Omar likes that one.
Sure. Wednesday morning here on the world-famous K-Rock, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What is going on?
Oblivion!
Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah. Story of the last man on Earth. Or so he thinks.
Yay!
Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman, and many more star in Oblivion. This looks like a great science fiction film. How about the red carpet premiere, which is happening Wednesday, April the 10th at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood? Would you like to attend? Of course you would. How many times do you get a chance to go to a red carpet world premiere of a big Hollywood movie in your life?
With AAA+ listers in this one.
Giving you the opportunity right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number will get a pair of passes to attend the world red carpet premiere of Oblivion, Wednesday, April the 10th. If you don't win, don't feel too bad because the movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 19th. But call now for your chance to attend the red carpet world premiere of the brand new Tom Cruise movie, Oblivion, which looks awesome, by the way. Special effects look terrific in this.
Ralph Garman, you're the sci-fi guy.
Yes,
is
I am.
Oblivion based on something that we've heard of or no?
Not to my knowledge.
Is this new?
I think it's an original screenplay, yeah. So,
wow, that's rare these days.
I don't
days.
Think it's based on a comic book or a novel or anything. I think this came out of somebody's brain.
Nice. Wow. Didn't think they did that anymore in Hollywood.
Although, to be fair, we haven't it's not like we haven't seen Last Man on Earth type sci-fi before. Omega Man with Charlton Heston, famously. That's a big one where everyone's killed off by a virus that turns them into creepy, evil creatures. I Am Legend was the remake of that with Will Smith. So, Last Man on Earth kind of stuff. Charlton Heston was the Last Man on Earth, Planet of the Apes. Last Man with a Brain, who could talk. It's a madhouse!
Looks good.
Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty apes! God, I love that film. Sad news, Jane Henson, the mother of the Muppets, has passed away. She was 78 years old when she died yesterday after a long struggle with cancer. She, along with her husband Jim Henson, of course, launched the Muppet Empire after they met up in a puppetry class at the University of Maryland. They got their first TV gig on a local station in Washington, D.C. while they were still undergrads. They did a little comedy bit with some puppets, and that led to, well, as you know, the legendary empire now that is all things Muppet. It wouldn't have been a Kermit and a Miss Piggy and all that stuff without Jane helping her husband along. So, sad news. She will be missed. Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart are back together again.
Oh, right, then.
Rob came back from Australia where he was filming a movie called The Rover, and now they are back in love. They're spending time together. The couple hit a local L.A. bar, according to Star Magazine, where they ordered shots and did some karaoke.
Bitchin'.
Got a little little taste of Kristen Stewart now singing karaoke right now.
First, I was afraid. I was petrified, thinking I could never live without you by my side.
It's really brought home I will survive. Standing O. Standing O!
I just want to remind you guys that Kevin fearlessly predicted that after the last red carpet premiere of the last Twilight movie, those two would never speak again.
They'll break right up right after that.
Hey, don't do the bean voice when it's me. No. I'm drunk.
They'll sell a brick up. The brick up never, just for publicity. No.
Remember? He said they were only hanging out together to publicize the movie and they didn't have a real relationship and they would never see each other again.
I don't remember any of that.
You did say that and I balked and there we go. There you have it. Speaking of balking, Kendra Wilkinson could not conquer her fear of heights last night. She could not do her team dive on Splash.
Ugh.
So she had to be eliminated from the show.
Lisa, you sound very upset.
I am. I was rooting for her to
overcome
that fear.
She was diving for the troops. We wanted her to move on.
You're not watching that show.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. She wasn't diving for the troops either. I think it's Louis Anderson.
No, that was Louis Anderson.
He's more falling for the troops.
And he gets to stick around for another week, as does Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They both had the lowest scores this week, but they booted, what's her name again?
Kendra Wilkinson.
Because she refused to dive. Here's the thing. If you are deathly afraid of heights, maybe don't go on the reality show where you're diving from the high board.
No, that's weird. Why ever even consider it?
When they call and say, hey, you want to do this? You say, no, thank you, and you hang up the effing phone. They say, oh, I'm petrified of getting up on a high board. Yes, by all means, I'd love to come on your show and not do what you asked me to do.
Yeah, you can't blame them for kicking her off. I mean, you go on the Wheel of Fortune, you're going to have to say some words.
Right.
You can't just stand there and go, no, I don't do English words.
If you're Kevin, you don't go on the Wheel of Fortune, which requires you to say things.
How dare you?
And announce words. You don't go there. What the hell's wrong with her people? Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my, Kendra, you do have a terrific vagina.
Yeah. Dancing with the Stars, by the way. Andy Dick, one of the bottom three this week. Yeah.
Did he get voted off?
Well, apparently Wynonna Judd was booted off the show. She and Lisa Vanderpump were in the bottom three. There's a woman named Lisa Vanderpump.
I'm afraid so.
Who is Lisa Vanderpump?
She's a reality TV star. If Mike's here, he would know. Is she a housewife? I'm one of those types of shows.
Speaking of Vanderpumps, I'd like to pump, like a Vanderpump your vagina, Lisa.
I don't think big enough to be a reality star, though. Is she a star?
Well,
half
she
those
is.
People aren't.
Anyway, Wynonna Judd is gone. Andy Dick lives on another week, as does Lisa Vanderpump. The good news last night, however, was that Huey Lewis and the News performed Heart of Rock and Roll. So once again, Dancing with the Stars, right up on the cutting edge
of
music and entertainment, as we know.
Sorry, Jimmy Kimmel. It's not cool.
Well, it's cool, but I wouldn't put them on my highly rated TV program to try to attract viewers, that's for sure. I listen to it in the privacy of my own automobile, perhaps. That album, by the way, Sports, 30 years old this month.
Is it really?
30 years they're celebrating. Apparently, Huey and the guys are going out on a tour where they will play just that album each and every night when you go out.
Am I responsible for the continuation of this topic? Because I apologize to everybody.
Fire rock and roll, bitch.
That's the case.
That is some music right there. Ask Christian Bale. He'll tell you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Born on April the 3rd, Amanda Bynes is 27 years old today.
One of our listeners suggested this is bad news for Amanda, the way she's been spiraling out of control now that she's 27, which is the, you know, the Amy Winehouse death age.
Oh.
Be careful as you're 27, I think is her point.
Kobe Smulders is 31. Jenny Garth turns 41. Sebastian Bach of Skid Row is 45. Mike Ness from Social D is 51. Eddie Murphy turns 52 today. David Hyde Pierce from Frasier fame is 54. Alec Baldwin, I'm going to miss that 30, Brock. He is 55 years old. And Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 57. Unable to blow out a candle, Mick Mars. He has to actually get those old-timey bellows that they use on fireplaces to blow out a candle. Sad, sad shape. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So yesterday, we were having some fun with a story that we came across recently about a course called Navigating Pornography at Pasadena City College in Pasadena. And Hugo Switzer is the professor down there. And we did, as we're prone to do, we put Ralph in the other room on the phone, and he did a wacky voice bit where we had him playing this professor. And I think a splendid time was had by all. Right, Kevin, wouldn't you say? We all enjoyed it very much. Then we get a tweet at Kevin and Bean minutes after the thing airs that says, well, why are you having Ralph impersonate me when you can have the real guy on? And we thought, the real professor who's teaching navigating pornography at PCC? This is too good to pass up. So this is kind of a repeat performance by the real guy this time. Professor Switzer, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, guys.
So you're actually teaching the course Navigating Pornography.
I am indeed.
Is this the only course you teach, or do you teach a wide variety of subjects there at PCC?
I teach a whole bunch of gender studies and history courses at PCC, absolutely. But this is probably the most controversial course I teach.
Well, I would imagine so. Is this new this year, this semester?
No, I started teaching it 1 year ago, so this is the second time around. But it's getting a lot more attention this time.
And tell me, when you say it's controversial, what have you heard from either the community or faculty or students? Are there people who just don't think it's appropriate to discuss this in a college?
Absolutely. Both from fellow faculty and from some administrators, not so much from students. There's this feeling that this is something really shameful, something really inappropriate, that I am somehow corrupting the minds of young people, as if I am introducing them to pornography somehow.
Right.
The people that they've never otherwise encountered.
The people in your class could probably already get a doctorate in that particular.
Right. Absolutely. You know, we're not teaching them to use porn. We're teaching them how to think about the porn they use.
Now, that's interesting. Now, did you have, I don't know how much leeway teachers get in preparing their class studies, but was there a great deal of oversight from the administration on what you could and couldn't do in a class like this?
Absolutely none. Well,
they're doing good work over there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only issue that would have come up is if I did want to show porn in class and there were students under the age of 18, then we would have had to get waivers signed, but I don't have any students under the age of 18, and so I am all good.
So you show the porn in the class?
No, I don't actually show porn in class. I give them porn homework and have them look at porn on their own time, which they're doing anyway.
Right, exactly.
But this way, the difference is, of course, that I'm asking them to think about what it is that they're doing in perhaps a little bit of a different way.
Masturbating, that's what they're doing.
Absolutely. But, you know, what happens is that when most people masturbate to porn, as soon as they've finished, they switch it off.
Right.
So after they've, you know, finished doing one activity, I want them to think a little bit about what those images are that they're seeing and be able to put them in sort of a historical and cultural context. You can get off and stimulate your mind at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive, guys.
That's a lot of work.
That's not true.
You're asking me to go back to the buffet after I'm already full, Doctor. that's what you're doing here. What's the gender breakdown of the students in your navigating pornography classes?
It's about 60% women, about 40% men.
Really?
It's definitely more women than men.
Now, I'm curious about this, and actually, I almost wish we had more time for this because it is actually a fascinating subject. Would you say that young women are not offended by pornography? Because my belief would be, you know, just as a guy looking on the outside, that they would be.
Well, there's such a huge shift in terms of how young women
watch and use pornography today. I mean, you go back a decade or two before the coming of the internet, pornography really was designed only to appeal to young men.
Right.
But there's so much porn out there right now that appeals to young women. And today's, you know, female college students, a lot of them are watching porn. A lot of them like porn.
Interesting.
You're seeing a lot more of porn consumption by both sexes now. So absolutely, it's not the traditional gender divide we saw in decades.
When you give homework, you know, go home and watch Argu, and we'll talk about it on Monday. How many people raise their hand and go, seen it?
Well, I mean, you know, people do talk about the porn they've already seen.
Okay.
I do ask them, of course, to see some things perhaps that they haven't already seen. You know, the porn stars that I bring into class represent both very big mainstream talent, as well as people who are producing sort of queer, off-center, you know, more obscure stuff. I'm trying to sort of expand. You used the image of the buffet earlier. I'm trying to expand the options of that buffet.
So, kids, listen, watch more and different porn.
Well, absolutely. I mean, what is college other than the opportunity to think critically and to expand your horizons and learn something new?
This is the voice of Professor Hugo Switzer here on the Kevin Beach Show. He's a teacher with Pasadena City College. We're talking about his course that is called Navigating Pornography. I'm going to ask you a question I'm sure comes up a lot in your class, and that is, do you think that people who oftentimes their first exposure to sexuality is through pornography, and oftentimes it's something that they use overwhelmingly a lot as, you know, teenagers and young people in their 20s, do you think that that changes in a negative way they relate to real people in real sexual situations because they've got the movie images in their mind of what it should be like, they think?
It can, but I think that, you know, it's also really important to recognize that in a lot of ways that's oversold. A lot of people's introduction to driving comes as little kids in the South, for example, watching NASCAR.
Right.
You know, but you grow up watching NASCAR, that doesn't mean that you're going to be an unsafe driver. You grow up watching pornography, it doesn't mean that you will imagine that this is what your first girlfriend or boyfriend is going to want to do.
Right.
I think we don't give young people enough credit to be able to distinguish, you know, what is educational from what is entertaining. I think young people are actually better than we realize at being able to distinguish those things.
Interesting. All right, and let me ask you one more question that's sort of related to that. How about in terms of the way it affects what they think of as a sexually attractive person to look at? Because the people in the movies are so often a certain type of person, does that hurt them and narrow their views on what is attractive to them in real life?
I think it definitely can, which is why I really want to encourage my students to be looking at a much more diverse set of options in terms of what's available. There's so much pornography out there and erotic material that shows all sorts of body types, all sorts of ages, obviously over 18, all sorts of body alterations that really give a much more realistic depiction of what people are like.
Have you introduced them to Zero Dark Squirty?
Oh, man.
No, I have missed that out. It's politically controversial, guys.
Professor, before we let you go, how did you hear about the voice bit that we did yesterday on the show where we had Ralph playing
you? It's several of my students tweeted me right away.
They did. Who listened, and did you go back and did you find it at Kerouac.com and listen to it? And if so, what did you think?
Of course I did. I was very impressed with how was it Ralph?
It was Ralph. Yeah.
Of how he handled me, absolutely.
Anything funny on this show is Ralph. That's just how you know.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing, that my family is not – I want to dissociate myself from the rest of my family. The rest of my family are serious academics who do not teach courses on pornography.
Oh, they got you. You must be the black sheep. Yeah, you must show up at Thanksgiving. They make you sit at your own little table.
Rented Black Sheep of the Family, as a matter of fact, in my Navigating Pornography course. All right, Pasadena City College's Hugo Switzer. Thank you, Professor. We enjoyed talking to you. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you, bud. 647 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Do you listen to the Big Boobie Show? Do you watch?
Why hasn't there been a murder on this show yet? I'm serious. Why has no one killed anyone?
We love.
Congratulations.
Like a big dysfunctional family loves.
Right. Yeah. Congratulations to Wow, Ralph, you're going to be so excited. This sounds like a secret agent name. Our listener that just won Depeche Mode tickets in the third row is Flint Benson.
Bing, bada, ding, 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 bada, ding, ding. Our man Flint.
Flint Benson from Covina. Way to go, dude. Depeche Mode tickets in the third row all day long today here on KROQ. Go to KROQ.com for all the details, and good luck winning yours. It's 9:41. Time for Ralph and the Showbiz Beat.
Your parents name you Flint Benson. The pressure's on.
It is. Yeah,
no kidding. Minute one. You better show up in life and do something impressive. If you're Flint Benson.
You can't work at a gas station, that's for sure. You got to get out there and get it done.
Yeah, you better be SEAL Team 6 or a private eye or the CEO of a major international corporation or something. You got
win the Heisman, something.
You can be Flint Mother Effing Benson. And you know what? Winning tickets on K-Rock ain't going to cut it, Flint Benson. You better get out there and do something with your life.
Now we're chastising him.
Get Flint Benson on the phone. I want to have a conversation with him. He is underachieving. I'm not impressed by what he's done so far.
You don't know what Flint he's done Benson so
well,
far.
Well, let's find out. I guarantee you it is Yawn City. I want to be wowed by Flint Benson.
Maybe he's a high school senior that's going right to the pros. You don't know.
You're right, but I'm telling you, if he's busy calling up this little rinky-dink radio station trying to win tickets to, what was it, the Fun Boy
Depeche
3
Mode.
Or whatever it was?
Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
It was Fun Boy 3.
Then he's not really using the optimum of his potential is what I'm saying.
What if Flint won because he invented some sort of a robot that dials the station whenever we give away tickets? He didn't even have to pay attention to it. It does the work for him.
He's
invented
robots.
So
they better do something more. More than just dial the phone to win tickets.
No, that's likely. That's a good use for a robot.
It better be some sort of destructo robot that marches through the center of town, blowing up
tanks.
Why
do I feel like Flint has already disappointed you, Ralph?
God, yes. Wasting his time calling up us trying to win tickets to Bananarama, for God's sake. Whatever. He's wasting his time calling here when he should be doing something with his life.
We appreciate him listening. We appreciate that he cared enough to call to win the
Flint
tickets.
Benson. Can I win the tickets for Haircut 100?
He could be a crime fighter on the side.
He's calling us up.
Radio station caller during the day and superhero at night.
Hate Flint Benson now.
I think he's just playing it cool, man. I think he's just pretending to be
a cover story.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to call a radio station win tickets so people will think I'm a loser.
That's right. They'll think I'm just below the radar. They won't know I'm secretly out assassinating world leaders. Last night was Shaq's night. Raised his number to the rafters. Gave him mad love. Coach Phil was there talking about what a great team player he was and how much fun they had together and what a big part of the Lakers' success he was.
Did Laker fans try to kidnap Coach Phil and force him to coach the rest of the season?
They did start the "We Want Phil" chant while Shaq was talking. He's like, "Oh no, I want Phil too."
Yeah, that was rough.
Then Kobe came over and gave him a big hug, presented him with the key to the city.
You know what,
and
they
had a big moment there where he thanked him for all his help and getting him all those rings. And,
you know, Kobe just stayed in the locker room.
Whoa.
He didn't really come out for the ceremony.
Maybe Kobe's jealous because tonight on Southland, Shaq is the special guest star.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really. If you're not watching Southland, first of all, shame on you. A pox on your house. You know who's not watching Southland? Flint Benson. I'll tell you that right now. What a loser Flint Benson
is. He's living that, man. He doesn't have to watch it.
The greatest show on television.
It's pretty great.
And it's going to go away because you people have failed me yet again. But Shaq will be guest starring as a detective on the show tonight.
That's not going to be awkward at all.
Sounds distracting. It sounds like
Shaq's a pretty good performer. I think he's going to be fine.
But for a show that's gritty like Southland?
Shaquille, first of all, is a real police officer.
Right.
He's
not an actor.
He's a sheriff.
But he's not an actor.
Hey, you ever see Shazam?
No.
Well, then
you don't know.
You don't know that he's an actor.
Here's what I'm going to say. When you bring a celebrity onto a show, it is distracting. Unless, like Lucy Liu, for instance, is a great actress, so she was great. You forgot in a minute that she was Lucy Liu because she was great on that show. You're not going to forget that Shaq is Shaq because he's 28 feet tall.
He's not starring in the show. He plays a detective that Cooper, Cudlitz's character, went to the academy with. And there's just
some interaction. I'll watch it. I'm just saying. Don't expect too much out of the man.
Cudlitz said to TV Guide, he was fantastic. He was fun. He was relaxed. If the show were to continue, I would love to see him pop in and out. If the show were to continue.
Oh, that sucks.
That sounds like an ominous quote from Cudlitz, but it's good enough for Cuds. It's good enough for me. I'm just telling you, watch Southland tonight and see Shaq.
You're in a rush.
Everybody out of the car.
Can't wait. The perp can't understand a word he's saying.
That's right. I'm sorry. I can't.
What?
I would like to follow your orders, sir, but I just...
I said, get out of the car. I don't want to hang on the roof.
I am... Put a... I'm sorry. Put my wallet on the roof?
That's my ad-lib.
Strong.
Thank you, everyone.
Appreciate the help. Ah, sad news. Jim Henson's wife, Jane Henson, who really, a lot of people don't know, was the co-creator of the Muppets, was just as big a part of the early days of the Muppets as her husband, Jim, was. Passed away at the age of 78 yesterday after a long struggle with cancer. Really. They met when they were both at a puppetry class at the University of Maryland. That's where they came up with the idea for the Muppets, and they did a TV show shortly thereafter in Washington, D.C., and the rest is history. Married in 1959, had five children together who still carry on the Henson legacy. So, sad news.
If you go to puppetry class, you better...
Yeah, I can't believe there is such a thing.
You better come up with something that good.
Flint Benson should spend a little time at puppetry class and see what he can come up with.
Ralph, we did try to call Flint.
Flint!
No answer.
Oh,
but,
of course not. You know why?
Why?
Napping. He's napping his life away.
He's too busy. Maybe he's too busy solving the world's problems.
No.
Maybe he's inventing, the perfect electric car or something right now.
No.
You don't know.
He won tickets to Susie and the Banshees, and now he's hit the bong and he's passed out.
I did get an email from a coworker of Flint. John writes in.
Where do they work, John and Flint?
Doesn't say. I'm co-workers with Flint Benson. He just got up and jumped out the window. Now, I don't know if John is just kidding or if you've now killed Flint Benson with your ridicule.
I'm guessing he's just kidding. And I'm guessing that man is not his co-worker. You know why? Because Flint Benson doesn't have a job.
You don't know anything about him.
I do. He's a disappointment to his family and all of his friends.
Did you talk to him?
Of course I didn't.
All right.
I'm telling you, he's not living up to the Flint Benson name. That much is certain. And congratulations to Huey Lewis and the News as they celebrate 30 years after their legendary album Sports came out. Hard to Rock and Roll, One New Drug, all those hits came off that album. I bring this up because you have to go see the video over at Funny or Die, which is a parody of American Psycho. Remember Christian Bale's character goes off talking about what a great album Huey Lewis' News is?
What a crazy movie that was and scene that was, yeah.
They replicate that scene, only Huey Lewis invites Weird Al over his house and talks about what a great film American Psycho is, and then takes an axe to Weird Al and hacks him to death in his living room. It's freaking hilarious.
Don't need money. Don't take fame. Don't need a credit card.
Remember how much Jimmy Kimmel liked him?
He still loved Huey.
That's the power of love.
Of course, Power of Love not on that album.
Oh,
yeah, we forgot about that choice, actually.
That's from the soundtrack of Back to the Future, but I appreciate all your help. And once again, Beer Mug, you've come through with flying colors. You're no Flint Benson, sir. I know Flint Benson. I worked with Flint Benson, and you sir,
don't.
Are no Flint Benson.
Here's a little bit of something more appropriate. This is Huey Lewis singing Heart of Rock and Roll for our listeners that maybe are not familiar with the song. And it's easy to see why it continues to sell to this day.
Oh, man. If Jimmy was here, you'd all pay. Not stand for it.
Look, we love Jimmy.
Not stand for it.
He's a nut job when it comes to music.
Heart of Rock and Roll, Want a New Drug, If This Is It, Heart and Soul. Come on.
I want a new drug.
There we go.
One that does what it should. One that won't make me feel too bad. One that won't make me feel too good.
I hate those drugs that make me feel too good. Those suck. I don't want one
Kevin
of those.
Kevin has never found a drug to make him feel too good. He's always chasing the dragon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 57 years old today. Alec Baldwin turns 55. David Hyde Pierce is 54. Eddie Murphy celebrates his 52nd birthday today. Mike Ness of Social D is 51. Sebastian Bach of Skid Row, 45 years old. Jenny Garth from Beverly Hills 90210 fame is 41. Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother and, of course, The Avengers is 31. And actress Amanda Bynes celebrates her 27th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Remember the My Strange Addiction that we played highlights from of the girl that drinks blood?
Yeah.
Has done that for how long, Bean? 9, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, it was one of those for years, yeah.
All kinds of blood, too, like animal blood and human blood, yep, and everything. She does it all.
She heard we were talking about her and playing highlights and wants to talk to us.
Oh, good.
So tomorrow morning,
she's not coming to the studio.
Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk on the phone.
Good, good.
To the blood drinker. We also have Hockey Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille talking about the Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings visiting the White House.
Oh.
Brand new internet roundup, Dr. Drew, and your tickets in the How You Like Me Now section for April Foolishness tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and